الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد، respected brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome all of you once again to this daily discourse and daily dars on the topic of Islamic manners, Islamic etiquettes, based on a small short booklet titled Min Adab al-Islam in Arabic, the translation of which is available with the title Manners in Islam, authored by a world-renowned scholar from Syria, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah ta'ala. You may remember that in the previous lesson, which was on Saturday, we discussed two points. We discussed two etiquettes, and two very important etiquettes actually. Two very important issues of adab and adab. The first one was relating to closing and opening the door. The Sheikh in the book mentioned the way a Muslim should shut the door and open the door, close the door, which is to close the door gracefully, gently, and not forcefully, and not violently. And he talked about that etiquette in great detail, and we discussed it. And then we went on to the next point, which was about greeting one another with the greeting of Islam, which is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we discussed that in great detail. I mentioned a few verses of the Quran, quite a few ahadith and sayings of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we discussed the issue of greeting with the greeting of Islam, which is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now we move on today, dear listeners, to the next etiquette and the next point. I will first of all, inshallah, read through the text, and then we'll translate it, elaborate upon it, explain it, inshallah, to the best of our ability. The author, Sheikh Abdul Fattah, rahimahullah, the Sheikh says in this book that I have in front of me, in Arabic, he says, this is the next point. He says, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ دَارَكَ فَأَشْعِرْ مَنْ فِيهَا بِدُخُولِكَ قَبْلَ وُصُولِكَ إِلَيْهِمْ لِأَلَّا يَرْتَاعُوا بِمُفَاجَأَتِكَ أَوْ تَكُونَ كَالْمُتَخَوِّنِ الْفَاحِصِ لَهُمْ. قال أبو عبيدة عامر بن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه، كان أبي عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه إذا دخل الدار استأنس، أي أشعر أهلها بما يؤنسهم، وتكلم ورفع صوته حتى يستأنسوا. Amazing point, and a very important point. It may seem very basic, this point, but many of us neglect this etiquette and this law. Remember, we talked about this earlier a few days ago, that when we say these are etiquette and adab, the Sheikh mentioned in the book that, remember, don't consider these etiquettes to be just like etiquettes. Don't consider them to be adab, meaning we think that, oh, adab in contrast to something that's compulsory or necessary or wajib. These are not etiquettes that are on the margin of the Islamic teachings. They're not peripheral issues. These etiquettes are actually, they form, these adab and etiquettes, they form the central guidance and central teachings of Sharia and the central teachings of Islam. So this point as well, it may seem very obvious or maybe very, you know, simple, may seem very, you know, common or very, very basic. But nevertheless, it's very important and many of us neglect it greatly. He says, the Shaykh, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ دَارَكَ, that when you enter your house, okay, this is your own house, not somebody else's house. We will come to the etiquette of going to other people's homes, right? That's going to come, that we need to, of course, knock on the door and etc. and all the rules about that. But this is when you enter your own house, دَارَكَ. دَار in Arabic not necessarily means the house we live, houses, the types of houses we live in, but it's a comprehensive term. We have two words. We have dar and we have bait. Okay? Now, in the Arabic language, you know, I mean, we translate both of these two words to be house. But the Arabs used to have different kind of homes and different kinds of houses. They used to have different quarters, different areas within one great, massive, you know, building or mansion. That's how they used to live. So, dar, you know, means to even enter into different areas of your home and in your house, different quarters, okay? Different quarters of your home. So it does not necessarily mean that the houses we are living in, when we enter the house, meaning the front door of the house, no. Not just the front door of the house. What this etiquette is talking about, that when a person enters his house, not just the front door, but when he's moving into somebody else's private area as well, within the home, like you're entering your brother's room, your sister's room, your parents, especially your parents' room, and even your grown-up children's rooms. This etiquette is talking about privacy. And you know, sometimes we neglect this. It's because of sometimes cultural reasons, okay? But these are basic Islamic teachings. So he says that when you enter your house, your home, فَأَشْعِرْ, let the people know, the people who are inside of your house, the people who are living inside, the people who are present inside of the room, let them know, أَشْعِرْ, make them aware that you are just about to enter before you approach them. Before approaching them, let them be aware, make them aware, make your presence known to them. Why? What's the benefit of this? And why should we make people aware that we are just about to enter the room or the house? The Shaykh says, لِأَلَّا يَرْتَاعُوا بِمُفَاجَأَتِكَ, so that they do not become frightened, يَرْتَاعُوا, suddenly, by your sudden appearance, so that they do not become frightened by your sudden appearance. They do not become startled, astonished, amazed, or gobsmacked, or just completely, you know, just shocked by your sudden appearance. Or don't become like, you know, you are some kind of an examiner. Because the benefit of this, he's saying that if you make, let them know that you are going to just approach them and enter, make your presence known, so that you do not seem like you are some kind of examiner, some person who's just trying to trick them or trying to deceive them or trying to, you know, mutakhawwin, the one who's trying to catch them out. And the one, al-fahis, the one, fuhis in Arabic means test or examination. So you're not some kind of examiner. So what the Shaykh is saying in these two lines, brothers and sisters, very important adab. That when we enter our houses, I mean, it's very important. If we're entering through the front door, then people, if you know that it's just going to be, there are children, elders, all sorts of people within the house, then it's not absolutely necessary that you knock on your own house door, okay? It's not necessary. If you think that there might be, like for example, there may be, like you go to your house and your wife has, you're a man and your wife has told you that, look, that there's quite a few women in the house, we're having a women's gathering maybe, and when you know that they are there, so it's, at that time, you see, we need to think when it's appropriate to, and when it's necessary, and when it's not necessary. We need to use our common sense and our brain. So you know that, look, they may be in the front room, they may be just, there'll be a lot of women in the house. You don't want to just enter on them, and they could be in an unkept state, in an, not in an appropriate state for you to see them. So as a man, even if it's your own house, go there first, or first just phone, you know, we have mobile phones, phone, and say to your wife that, look, I'm just outside, I'll be coming in 2 minutes. Or you just go knock, and then use your key and open the door. But normally you don't have to knock on your own door. You open with the keys, and then when you're in the corridor, when you're before entering a specific room, it's important to make your presence known to the people within the house. Specifically, if you are going into one room where there may be somebody, you know, by themselves, you don't want to shock them. You don't want to startle them. You don't want to frighten them. Okay, this is what the adab is. And in terms of going to other people's rooms, this becomes absolutely necessary. It becomes an obligation. Seriously, it becomes an obligation. Obligation meaning it's a mandatory, compulsory law and hukam and commandment of Sharia. And if somebody does not practice upon this, then that person will be sinful. There are many verses. We will read those few verses of the Quran. In terms of seeking permission, okay, in terms of seeking permission, which is coming in actually the next point, specifically going into people's rooms. But here it's general, just let them know that you are attending. And then he says, the Sheikh relates from a companion, a tabi'i, Abu Ubaidah, who was the son of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. His name is Amir bin Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abu Ubaidah, Amir bin Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He used to say, and he used to relate and mention about his father, that my father, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, we are all aware, you should all be aware of the great companion, the great sahabi, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. When he used to enter his house, he used to announce his arrival. Istanasa, meaning he used to, istanasa is from the word uns in Arabic, which means that he used to make people in the house feel comfortable, which means that Ash'ara ahlaha, he used to make his family know, he used to make his family, his presence known. So before entering his house, he used to do something that his family, remember those times, the doors, they never used to, you know, they used to enter, they never used to be locked or anything like that. So before entering, nevertheless, even his own house, he used to make his presence known to his family. And what he used to do was he used to talk. Takallama, he used to speak. So near the door, he used to, you know, maybe talk to someone. How are you? Okay, inshallah, I'm just about to enter my house. Okay, inshallah, see you. Okay, tomorrow. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then enter. That's a good way of making your presence known to your family. Another good way is dua. You remember, we should have a habit, we should form a habit of reciting the various du'as at the various times and various intervals, as guided to us by the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the good ways of letting your presence known to your family is when you enter, you read the dua loudly. You read the dua loudly and then say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This will actually, subhanAllah, you know, you'll be doing so many things together. So many things together. You will be, once you enter, you will be actually be ensuring that you are reading the dua Number two, you are ensuring that you are saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, another sunnah of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you will be doing all of this loudly so people in the house will know that you're just about to attend, enter upon them. So near the door, you know, when you open the keys, you'll be reading the dua loudly, okay? And saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah loudly, and letting your presence known to your family as well. So he used to speak, this Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he used to speak, وَرَفَعَ صَوْتَهُ, he used to raise his voice loudly, so that his family would become aware, they would know that he is just about to attend. Because you see, you might say, a question might come to your head, that you're only entering your own house, okay? So what's there to hide? Brothers and sisters, this is not about what's there to hide. You don't want to see everyone in all situations, even though they may be your family members. Anybody could be in any state. Especially coming suddenly is absolutely wrong. And there's hadith coming which I'm going to... Even if it's your own family, you don't want to see your sister or your mother in a inappropriate state, do you? I mean, there's a in the next point when we're talking about entering the rooms, there's actually quite a few codes that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Somebody said, why do I need to ask permission even when I enter my mother's room? So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, why do you want to see your mother naked? Seriously, that's what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The hadith is coming. I will come to that point anyway, because that's specifically entering, you know, people's private rooms, even your family members. So you know, people could be in various states, they could be, there's privacy. Islam teaches us, this point is telling us that Islam teaches us to respect people's privacies. Seriously, we must respect people's privacies, give people space. And especially, you know, sometimes we think that we have a God-given right that we must know everything about everybody. Subhanallah, who said this? Where is it that teaching in Islam? There are rules, there are etiquettes, brothers and sisters. As a husband, sometimes men think that they must know everything about their wives. That's not necessary. She's a human being, she's an individual. Yes, she respects you, she's obedient to you, she fulfills your rights, and you have to fulfill her rights. Okay, it's a husband-wife relationship. But that does not mean that she has no privacy of her own and you're some kind of a control freak. That's not what Islam teaches, brothers and sisters. And likewise, parents, you have to remember, okay, there are rules and etiquettes about your children. You want to do tarbiyah, you want to bring them up, you want to know about their issues, you want to know what they do, and you know, you want to know when they go into the internet. Of course, without a doubt, you must ensure that you make a good tarbiyah and good upbringing of your children. But there are rules and etiquettes, there are limits as well. Especially when children grow up, there are limits. Okay, you don't do things in a way that completely disrespects their privacy. So, I mean, if in doubt, people should ask the people of knowledge, what's right, what's wrong, how much can I do, how much I cannot do. So anyway, this is the point about that when you enter your house, let your presence known to even your family members, so that you don't startle them, you don't frighten them. And then the author, rahimahullah, he says, وقال الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى إذا دخل الرجل بيته استحب له أن يتنحنح أو يحرك نعليه. قال عبد الله ابن الإمام أحمد كان أبي إذا دخل أي رجع من المسجد إلى البيت يضرب برجله قبل أن يدخل الدار حتى يسمع ضرب نعليه لدخوله إلى الدار وربما تنحنح ليعلم من في الدار بدخوله. Another paragraph here, a few lines, subhanAllah. He's again same point, but he's just quoting another individual, an imam, the great imam Ibn Hanbal. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, rahimahullahu ta'ala, may Allah have mercy on him. You all must have heard of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. We have the four great Imams of the four great Sunni schools of Islamic law. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, we talked about him, I think, a few days ago as well, that he was a great scholar of hadith, a great muhaddith, and a great faqih as well. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, radiallahu anhu, he said that when a person enters his house, it's mustahab, it's recommended for him that he clears his throat. That's another way. So when you're entering your house, you go so that people know that you're just about to enter. Or يُحَرِّكَنْ عَلَيْهِ, or he taps his shoes. Tapping or just making, meaning just making some kind of sound or noise. The purpose will be gained by making any kind of sound or noise. And then he quotes his son, Abdullah ibn al-Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, radiallahu anhu, he had a son called Imam Abdullah. He was a great muhaddith as well. Not as great as his father, but he was nevertheless a great muhaddith, Abdullah. And for those of you who know about Imam Ahmad, that he compiled the great Musnad, collection of ahadith. Because he was a great muhaddith, a scholar of hadith as well, he gathered many ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, compiled them in his famous collection, compilation of hadith called the Musnad. It's very famous, the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. That Musnad, he compiled something like 30,000, he gathered something like 30,000 hadith, and then later on, after he passed away, his son, Abdullah ibn Imam Ahmad, added another 10,000, and hence we have approximately 40,000 hadith compiled in that famous Musnad. So his son, Abdullah, was a great muhaddith as well. So he says that, look, my father, he relates about his father, his action. First we have heard what he said, Imam Ahmad. And now his son is relating about his personal practice. And my father, when he used to enter, meaning when he used to come back from the masjid to the house, when my father used to return from the masjid to the house, when he was entering his own house, what he used to do was he used to tap his shoes. يَضْرِبُ بِرِجْلِهِ. He used to tap his foot before he would enter the house. So much so, to the point that, well, no, حَتَّى, so that, why would he tap his shoes? So that the tapping of his shoes, the noise, the sound of his slippers and his shoes would be heard before him entering into the house. And sometimes he used to clear his throat. Why would he clear his throat? So that he would make the people aware who are inside the house that he is just about to enter upon them. And then finally the Sheikh finishes and completes off this point by mentioning a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, وَلِهَذَا جَاءَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ عَنْ جَابِرٍ أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى أن يطرق الرجل أهله ليلا أي أن يأتيهم ليلا من سفر أو غيره على غفلة كأنه يتخونهم أو يلتمس عثراتهم. This is the reason why he says that there's a hadith that's come and that's been recorded in both collections of Sahih Hadith, meaning the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and the Sahih of Imam Muslim. This is the Hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, both of them relate from Sayyiduna Jabir radiallahu anhu that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade a man that he enters his house during the night. This hadith, I mean, it's come in a, this hadith has come in various versions. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the wording of the hadith is that نَهَا أَن يَطْرُقَ الرَّجُلُ أَهْلَهُ لَيْلًا. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade that a man should enter his house at night, okay, to his family at night. Which means that when he used, in those times when people used to travel, they used to travel long distance travels, okay? Long distance travels. Now, they're coming back after 2 weeks. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the Sahaba, the companions radiallahu anhum, that they suddenly come, coming after a long journey of 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, suddenly 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, just enter and come into your house, to your family. He said, no, don't do that. If you return, then wait. And this was the practice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, there were two things. One was the practice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sunnah, was that when he used to return from a long distance journey, when he used to return with the companions, he would tell them, let's all go to the masjid. They used to start to the masjid. This is actually a sunnah of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You come back from abroad, rather than from coming from Birmingham airport straight to Leicester, straight home, and start with the masjid. Okay? But the problem nowadays is that most of the masjids, if you come in like in a time where there's no prayer time, no salah time, then the masjid will be closed. So you can't really go to the masjid. But if the masjid is open, it's sunnah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they used to all go to the masjid. They used to offer, two rak'at, maybe enough nafil, of thanksgiving, of gratitude to Allah, that, thanks to Allah that we've arrived safely. And a message would be sent out. They never used to have mobile phones, remember. So a message used to be sent out to all the households that we've all here, we've all arrived, we are all in the masjid. So the women at home used to prepare for their returning husbands. And this was actually the hikmah, the wisdom of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, that do not just suddenly arrive at night, in the middle of the night. Okay? And here he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade a man from attending, from arriving and suddenly coming to his family at night. He forbade for a man to surprise his family by coming at night. And then he says, يتخونهم أو يلتمس عثراتهم. This man who does that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actual words of the hadith is, he's got something in brackets here, but the actual words of the hadith, actual words are, نهى أن يطرق الرجل أهله ليلا يتخونهم أو يلتمس عثراتهم. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade a man from entering his house at night suddenly, as though he is, يتخونهم, he is trying to deceive the family, trying to deceive the wife. Or he's trying to discover the ills, يَلْتَمِسُ عَثَرَاتِهِمْ. He's trying to discover the wrongs and the ills and the things that go on behind his back. He wants to suddenly catch his wife doing something, or his family, his children doing something. Don't do that. He as if he distrusts his family. These are the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man does that is someone who is as though, you might not intentionally be doing that, but it's wrong. It is as though you don't trust your wife, your family, your children, that behind your back they're up to something. Your family is up to something. So this is the reason why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this etiquette, that look, when you come at night, or when you come from journey, or whenever your family are not expecting you, then it's always part of adab and etiquettes that you inform them beforehand. We all have mobile phones nowadays. Well, most of us, some people don't. Even if you don't have a mobile phone, phone from somewhere. If you're in the middle of the road, stop at a service station and phone. Use your mobile phone. Don't use your mobile phone whilst driving, unless you've got hands-free. Otherwise, you'll get a fine. And maybe points as well, I don't know. And it's wrong anyway, okay, so we shouldn't. But use your phone and phone your family. Tell them, okay, you know what, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, I am around half an hour away. But I think you shouldn't tell them just half an hour earlier. You should be giving them good time in advance, especially if you're coming from a journey abroad, long distance journey. Then you should be informing your family at least a day before. And if you're not long distance journey abroad from another city, then before you leave, 3-4 hours, so that people at home, they expect you. Your wife can cook you a nice meal. You go there just suddenly, and then so where's the food? You know, and remember, wives are not just for cooking food. So I'm just saying that one of the things she could do for you is mashallah, she'll expect you. She'll clean herself. She might, when you're not there, she's not in a good state because you're not there. And now, before you arrive, and this is actually in the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in another hadith, the wording was لِتَسْتَحِدَّ الْمَغِيبَةِ. There's another wording that I am forgetting right now, that women can clean themselves and adorn themselves, and you know, if they are disheveled and in an unkept state, then they can clean themselves and prepare themselves for their returning husbands. So this was the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the etiquette. This is the etiquette, inshallah. So this is the point, the adab, which is that before entering even your own houses, let your presence known to your family. Inshallah, we end with this. We'll have a short break, and then after the break, we have the next session. In there, I want to talk about, which is continuing, which is related to this topic, is, but more detail about specifically entering the private rooms of your family members. It's a very important point, so don't go. I'll be back, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum.
You are listening on 87.7 FM. You can also listen to us live over the internet at www.fmo.org.uk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome back, dear listeners. Before the break, in part one, in session one, we discussed a very important point, which was the etiquette, the adab of making one's presence known before entering one's own house. Now, the next point is actually a continuation, and it's related and connected to the previous point. This is actually more specific. The first previous point was general. This is more specific. What does the author say here? He says, إِذَا كَانَ بَعْضُ أَهْلِكَ قَارًا فِي حُجْرَتِهِ مِنْ دَارِكَ وَأَرَدْتَ الدُّخُولَ عَلَيْهِ فَاسْتَأْذِنْ لِأَلَّا تَرَاهُ عَلَى حَالٍ لَا يُحِبُّ أَوْ لَا تُحِبُّ أَنْ تَرَاهُ عَلَيْهَا سَوَاءٌ كَانَ مِنَ الْحَلَائِلِ أَوْ الْمَحَارِيمِ أَوْ غَيْرِهِمْ كَأُمِّكَ أَوْ أَبِيكَ أَوْ بَنَاتِكَ أَوْ أَبْنَائِكَ. Very important point. We talked about in the previous point the importance of making our presence known when we enter our own homes. Now, this is more specific and more related to and more specific to entering the private rooms of people within the house. This is, remember, these are not like you're going to strangers. These are your own family members and relatives and your own children and your own siblings and your own parents. So he says that when some of your family members, if some of your family members are resting in their private chambers, in their private rooms, hujarat, hujra. Hujra in Arabic means their rooms. If they are resting, if somebody is in their own room, in their own bedroom, they've shut the door, even if they haven't locked it, even if they haven't shut it completely, if they've just pushed the door slightly, then, and you want to enter, he says here, and you intend to go into their room, then seek permission. If people have their private rooms, then we need to seek permission. That's an adab. It's actually not just an adab and etiquette, it's a very important obligation. And it's based on the teachings of the Quran. What the Shaykh is saying here, that when people are in their private rooms, they're resting, your parents are in the bedroom. Whether one parent or both of them, the door is shut or the door is closed or the door is not open fully. And not even if it's open, before entering in your parents' rooms, you must seek permission. First of all, you have to make, with the previous point we said, we must make our presence known. So if you're a child, you're a son, okay, and your parents are upstairs, it's actually good that before, when you're going upstairs, you make your presence known to them. You clear your throat, you go, or you say, Salaamu Alaikum from downstairs or something. And when you get to the door, then you don't just go inside the room. It's wrong, it's sinful. This is what is mentioned in the Quran, and this is what this point is talking about. that seek permission, istizan, fasta'zin, ijaza, permission, fasta'zin, seek permission from them. Likewise, any if it's your brother, your sister, remember if you're sharing a room, then you don't have to because it's your own personal room and people know that, look, you know, the other member may come anytime, like husband and wife, they'll be sharing one bedroom, so they don't have to always keep on seeking permission from one another, because it's your own room. If you are two sisters and you both sleep in the same room, you don't need to. But it's good actually. It's not absolutely necessary, but it's still good. Especially if you know that they are resting or they've gone there for a while or something. It's good. Just may I come in? You okay? Is it okay to come in? You know, just seek permission. You don't have to just stand there and knock and wait. And we shouldn't exaggerate, of course. But what this point is talking about, that you don't want to embarrass someone. You don't want to surprise someone. You don't want to surprise your family members. You don't want to embarrass your family members. You don't want to see your brother or a sister or your mother or your father or your son or your daughter in an inappropriate way. You don't want to see, this is what he's saying, that look, لِأَلَّا تَرَاهُ عَلَى حَالٍ. Why is this important and necessary for you to seek permission? So that you don't see them, your family members, whoever they may be, you don't see them in a condition, in a situation, you don't see them on a situation that you dislike, you don't want to see. This is what the Shaykh is saying here, that you don't want to see them in a condition, لا يحب أو لا تحب. You don't want to see them in a condition which you dislike and they dislike. You don't want to enter suddenly in your sister's room and you know she's changing her clothes, for example, to be frank. It's uncomfortable, it's embarrassing. You will feel uncomfortable, they will feel uncomfortable. Both you as well as the person in the room will dislike this situation. So to avoid embarrassment, Islam teaches us. You know, Islam is such an amazing, beautiful way of life that has guidance in every area, brothers and sisters, subhanAllah. And Islam tells us that we need to be frank. We need to be open about these issues. Okay? Don't think, oh, you know, this is going to cause barriers. You know, how can you start seeking permission from entering your sister's room or your brother's room? But that's what causes problems. That's what causes problems. We think that, oh, how can we, like, we have a family business, brothers, everybody doing business together. Islam tells us that, look, make everything clear. Ownership should be clarified. Everybody's share in the business. Everything should be clear-cut. Dealings. تعاشروا كالإخوان وتعاملوا كالأجانب. This is an early saying, maybe of a tabi' or a sahabi. Some said it's a hadith. That remain like brothers, but transact like strangers. When you have to do a business deal, when money issues come, then be like strangers. Now, when we mention this to people, they say, oh, you know, we are family members, astaghfirullah. How could you even think about who owns what and this much and this? We all parents, you know, father, son, working together. We feel shy. How could you even think about, you know, making everything clear? But then what happens? Okay, right now you're saying this, but later on what would happen? When, you know, one son gets married, second one gets married, they have their own family, when the father passes away, when there's inheritance issues, do you know how many major problems Muslims fall into because of not fulfilling this and not practicing and acting upon this injunction of Islam and Sharia? Seriously, I know, I come across many individuals, there are problems within family members. People are ready to kill one another. Seriously, that's how money, as you know, is a root for all problems, unfortunately. Okay, so that happens in our society. So Islam tells us that, look, Islam is a very open religion, very frank religion, very simple religion, simplicity. You know, there's nothing to be shy about. What's in your heart is on your mouth. Simple. So Islam tells us that, look, seek permission. Be clear that, look, I don't want to see you in an inappropriate way. Okay, and then the Shaykh says here that, look, regardless of whether you are entering your, you know, your own daughter's rooms or even your own mahrams or other people, like your mother, ka'ummika, whether it's your mother, your father, your daughters or your sons, whoever's room you are entering, whoever's private room you are entering, if they are resting in their room, then don't surprise them, don't embarrass them, don't just enter suddenly, because it's not appropriate for you to do that and it's wrong. And this actually, as I mentioned to you, has been taken from the basic teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. This particular ruling and command has been taken from the basic rules, from the basic teachings of Sharia and the basic teachings of Islam. You know, there's a famous surah in the Quran, Surah An-Nur, the surah of the light. Why it's called Surah An-Nur? Because there's, you know, it talks about the light, like Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard Mathalu Nuri. But it's an amazing surah. It has many rules of social living, many social etiquettes, many social rules. In that surah, I have the Mus'haf, the copy of the Quran right in front of me. There are many verses, but like there's a verse about this. For example, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. O you who believe, don't enter homes which are not your homes. So this is about other people's homes. And we'll come to the rules about going to other people's houses, but I'll just read this, translate this verse. Until you seek permission, you make salam, you greet the people who are in the house, this is better for you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, so that you may take heed. And then Allah carries on. But the verse that I want to quote to you for this specific point is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, he says that, you see, in early Islam, the ruling was given. Previously, the ruling, the command was given to all the Muslims that when you enter, you must seek permission. Yeah, you must seek permission. And you must ask permission before entering people's private areas and rooms. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he exempted three types of people. Sorry, he exempted certain people in three times. So this is what Allah is mentioning in this verse. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِيَسْتَأْذِنْكُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا عَلَيْهِمْ جُنَاحٌ بَعْدَهُنَّ طوافون عليكم بعضكم على بعض كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم وإذا بلغ الأطفال منكم الحلم فليستأذنوا كما استأذن الذين من قبلهم كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته والله عليم حكيم. Two verses, subhanAllah, they sum up this particular command. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say here? He says, I'll translate, he says, O you who believe, let your slaves and those that have not reached puberty, let them seek permission from you three times. What is Allah saying here? That, look, your slaves, we don't have slavery right now. By that time, in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had slaves. And because slaves used to work, they used to work for you, they used to work for the man, for the woman. So they always need to come in and out. Imagine, they go out, go and get something, come back in the room, they're cleaning your room, they're going out. Every time they come in, they keep and have to knock. It's difficult. So Allah saying that, look, they don't need to all the time seek permission. You're resting in the room, they need to come and ask you, do you need anything? They need to bring you something. And so your slaves, because they all have, what Allah says, tawafuna, they frequently enter upon you. So there's a different ruling for them. And likewise, your children who have not reached puberty, you know, small, young children, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, you know, who have not reached bulugh. وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, in these two verses of Surah An-Nur, he's saying that your slaves and your young children who have not reached puberty, because they frequently enter, come in and out, for them there is a specific ruling, okay? They don't have to always ask permission, but Allah says, let them, they must seek permission, even they should and they must ask permission three times. So generally, in 24 hours, they don't have to ask permission. Okay? Everybody else, which is mentioned in the next verse, everybody else, the general ruling is that if you're entering in somebody's room, you must knock. You must ask permission. You must seek permission to enter. Everybody else. But this is a exemption for slaves and for young children, that Allah is saying that for them, they don't need to normally seek permission. But three times during 24 hours, ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ, they have to also ask permission. What are those three times? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, مِنْ قَبْلِ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ, meaning before صَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ, when you're sleeping at night, in other words. Before, you know, when you go retire to bed, you've offered your tahajjud salah, and then after tahajjud, you've gone back to sleep. So when you're, before fajr prayer, meaning at night when you're sleeping, because when you're sleeping at night, you know, it's your time of privacy. And then Allah says, وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ, when you remove your clothes in the afternoon. Remember, they used to all sleep, and it's sunnah, and we should try to at least follow the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is called قَيْلُولَةِ. قَيْلُولَةِ is to have a small afternoon nap. And the Arabs used to, and even nowadays in the hot countries in the Arabian world, if you know, in the subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Saudi Arabia, and all the Arab countries, I mean, it's beautiful. It's like you wake up early in the morning, and then you go to sleep in the afternoon. I remember when I was studying in Syria, work, people used to start 5 in the morning, buses start, everybody's going work, school starts at 7 in the morning. Children, young children, seriously, school starts like 7 o'clock, and they used to have madrasa at 6 o'clock. Small child madrasa, children madrasa from 6 to 7. And 7 o'clock school starts and ends at 1:30. That's it. Nothing in the afternoon. And then children come home, people come back from the work at 1, 2 o'clock, and you know, at 1:30, 2 o'clock after Dhuhr, you can literally hear a pin drop. Seriously. That, outside, everything, everybody's going to sleep. The whole of the city I was in was Damascus. The whole city is at a standstill. Everybody's going to sleep. It's too hot to go outside. Everybody's having a nap. Children, everybody's had the afternoon lunch. And mashallah, everybody's in nice dreamland, snoring away. And then people wake up 4:30 for Asr or something, and then 5 o'clock. From 5 o'clock onwards, when it cools down a bit, people start waking up. The city starts waking up again. And a lot of the, you know, like post office, bank, everything closes, shuts at 1 o'clock. Open in the morning and then closes. And some of these things, the shops, everything open again at 5 o'clock. And your news agents and other shops, they stay open till very late on, but even your post office and things like that, they open for like a couple of hours, maybe till 8 o'clock. The doctor's surgery opens again at 5 till about 7, because afternoon people were taking a nap. The dentist again, 5 till about 8 or something. And then it's really nice, people are awake till late, till about 11, 10, 11, 12, and then people go to sleep and wake up early, fresh in the morning, 5 o'clock. But anyway, and there are many benefits, seriously, many benefits. But we live in a country where, you know, there's no time to sleep in the afternoon. Seriously, there's so much benefit. Waking up early in the morning and then having a nice afternoon nap, even if you can take just like 20 minutes, sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 20 minute nap, it will really energize you, revitalize you, seriously. Half an hour, beautiful. If you take that nap, inshallah, you can carry on. The second leg and the second half of your day will be extremely fruitful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anyway, that was something on the side. Going back to this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse that three times, normally, generally, everybody needs to seek your permission, and with the exception of your slaves, and your young children who have not reached puberty, they don't need to ask permission all the time when they come to your rooms. However, on three occasions, they must also seek permission. What are those three occasions? Allah said, number one is that before Fajr prayer, meaning when you sleep. And number two, in the afternoon when you're having your nap, when you remove your clothes and you're privately in your room. And وَمِن بَعْدِ صَلَاتِ الْعِشَىٰ, and then after Isha, which means, again, sleeping time. So before Fajr, after Isha. Why did Allah mention this? Because in the middle, people wake up for tahajjud salah. It could have been after Isha, before Fajr. Isn't it the same thing? No. Because in the middle, they used to sleep after Isha and then wake up for tahajjud salah, qiyamul layl, tahajjud prayer. So that time, you know, it's an interval in the middle. And then before Fajr, so in the afternoon, three times. And Allah says, after that, ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ. These three times are your times of privacy. Even your young children and even your slaves should ask permission on these three occasions. Because these are very, very delicate private times. ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ. And in the next verse, Allah says that, look, the general ruling is, even your وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُمُ, when your children reach puberty, when they reached بُلُوغ and they become بَالِغ and بَالِغَ and they've reached puberty, then فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا كَمَا اسْتَأْذَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, they must seek permission now, like the ones before them were seeking permission. So they now have to seek permission every time. So this is a Quranic ruling. Very important that especially when we're entering in people's private rooms, that we seek permission. Going back to the book, I want to finish off this point. The author says that رَوَى الْإِمَامُ مَالِكُ فِي الْمُؤَطَّ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الْمُؤَطَّ عَنْ أَطَاءِ بْنِ يَسَارٍ مُرْسَلًا أَنَّ رَجُلًا سَأَلَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ أَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَى أُمِّي؟ فَقَالَ نَعَمْ. فَقَالَ الرَّجُلُ إني معها في البيت. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استأذن عليها. فقال الرجل إني خادمها. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استأذن عليها. تحب أن تراها عريانة؟ قال لا. قال فاستأذن عليها. In order to support this point and as evidence that it's necessary that when we enter the private rooms of our, even our family members, brothers, sisters, parents, mothers, fathers, children, we must seek permission so that we don't surprise them, embarrass them. There's a hadith quoted here. The great Imam, Imam Malik, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Imam Malik, subhanAllah, one of the great Imams as well of this Ummah. We talked about Imam Ahmed. Imam Malik was also a great faqih, a great jurist, one of the four major Imams, as well as being a great scholar of hadith. And he has a collection of hadith called Al-Mu'atta. Al-Mu'atta of Imam Malik. So Imam Malik in his Al-Mu'atta relates from Ata bin Yasar, radiallahu anhu, who is a tabi'i and who relates directly from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mursalan, that a man asked the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah bless him and give him peace, and said to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَسْتَأْذِنُوا عَلَىٰ أُمِّي, O Messenger of Allah, do I have to ask permission to enter my mother's room? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. So the man said, I live together with her in the house. That's the question might have come to your mind or my mind. I live with her, you know, every time I have to go to into her room, I live in the same house. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, استأذن عليها, seek permission before you enter. So what? Even if you live with her in the same house, ask permission. So the man said, إِنِّي خَادِمُهَا, O Messenger of Allah, I serve her. Not just that I live with her, but I serve her. I am her khadim. I have to always look after her. I have to always go to her room and give her this and give her that. And I am taking care of her. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, again, استأذن عليها. Still, ask permission, it doesn't matter, regardless of whether you serve her. And then he said, and these are not my words, these are the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, أَتُحِبُّ أَن تَرَاهَا عُرْيَانَةً? Do you want to see your mother naked? Why don't you want to seek permission? Do you want to see her naked in the room? You just want to suddenly just enter, she could be changing her clothes. So the man said, no, of course not, Ya Rasulullah, of course not. He said, no. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, okay, if that's the case, then فَاسْتَأْذِنْ عَلَيْهَا. Then, before entering, seek permission. Because you don't want to see something that you are not supposed to see. And there's another hadith which actually mentions this explicitly in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and the Sahih of Imam Muslim. Sahl ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِسْتِئِذَانُ مِنْ أَجْلِ الْبَصَرِ. SubhanAllah, amazing wording. You'll find this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِسْتِئِذَانُ مِنْ أَجْلِ الْبَصَرِ. Seeking permission seeking permission was made necessary only for the reason of not seeing something inappropriate. من أجل البصر. بصر means seeing. It's for the sake of not seeing something that you are not supposed to see. This is the reason why Islam and the Quran and the Sunnah, Hadith and Sharia, Islam tells us, Sharia guides us that we should always seek permission. Whether when entering other people's houses, your own, you know, home, making people aware, and into entering into people's private rooms and private areas. Then he relates something else the Sheikh mentions. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَىٰ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنِ مَسْعُودِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَقَالَ لَهُ أَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَىٰ أُمِّي فَقَالَ لَهُ مَا عَلَىٰ كُلِّ أَحْيَانِهَا تُحِبُّ أَن تَرَاهَا. A man came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and said to him, asked him a question. He said, "Oh Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, do I have to ask permission when entering my mother's room?" So the messenger, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the great companion, he said to him, "Ma 'ala kulli ahyaniha tuhibbu an taraha." There are certain circumstances that it's better that you don't see your mother in that state. مَا عَلَى كُلِّ أَحْيَانِهَا تُحِبُّ أَن تَرَاهَا. You would rather not see her in those situations. There are certain circumstances. Not on all circumstances you would want to see your mother. Not on all circumstances. So therefore, save yourself the embarrassment and save her the embarrassment and the inappropriate situation and seek permission. Seriously, brothers and sisters, this, you know, it's being emphasized by many cults because it's not something that we should take lightly. This is what Islam teaches. Seek permission, even if you're entering your own mother's or father's room. You don't want to go to your father's room without permission. Knock on the door. Adkhul, may I enter? Ask. And give them time. And until he says, yes, enter, then do not enter. وقالت زينب زوجة عبد الله بن مسعود. This Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, his wife Zainab, she says, كان عبد الله إذا جاء من حاجة فانتهى إلى الباب تنحنها كراهة أن يهجم منا على أمر يكرهه. This is relating to the previous point. She's talking about her husband, that when my husband Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he used to come back and return due to a need because of which he left the house, and when he used to reach the door, this is the main door, this is going back to the previous point, he used to clear his throat so that, you know, he never wanted to suddenly come on us in a situation that he dislikes. He did not want to suddenly see something inappropriate, so he would clear his throat, like we said in the previous point. وفي رواية عند ابن ماجة في آخر كتاب الطب كان عبد الله إذا دخل تنحنح وصوت. Again, another hadith in a riwayah in Sunan ibn Majah, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he used to enter the house, he used to clear his throat, he used to make some noise. وَسَأَلَ رَجُلٌ حُذَيْفَةَ بْنِ الْيَمَانَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَقَالَ أَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَىٰ أُمِّي؟ قَالَ نَعَمْ إِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَأْذِنْ عَلَيْهَا رَأَيْتَ مَا تَكْرَهُ. Again, this is all repetition. Another man asked the Sahabi Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman. Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman was a famous Sahabi. He was called Sahib Sirr al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Somebody who used to know the secrets of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would tell him things that he would not tell anyone else. So somebody asked Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman radiallahu anhu that, "Oh Hudhayfa, shall I ask permission before entering my mother's room?" He said, "Yes." And then he said, "If you don't seek permission, then you will see something that you don't want to see." Again, similar kind of quote. وقال التابعي ابن الصحابي موسى بن طلحة بن عبيد الله رضي الله عنهما دخلت مع أبي على أمي فدخل وتبعته فالتفت فدفع في صدري حتى أقعدني على الأرض وقال أتدخل بغير إذن. The great tabi'i, who is a son of a sahabi called Musa bin Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, he says, دخلت مع أبي على أمي. I entered with my father in my mother's room. So he said, I was walking with my father, and my father, I was with my father, and my father was just about to go to his own room, which is his mother's room. So my father entered, وتبعته, and I followed, you know, I thought I was with my father, I'll just quickly go inside the room as well. So my father, he turned round, And he said, and he hit me in this, like, not hit me violently, but he put his hand in my chest. فَدَفَعَ فِي صَدْرِي. He put his hand on my chest, and with a bit of force, he made me sit down on the ground. And then he said, are you following me? Are you entering without permission? This means we should train children from young age. This is a small child. Musa bin Talha, he is relating his own incident that I was with my father, and my father was just about to enter his own room, and I just followed him. But my father made sure, he taught me the adab, the etiquette, and this is training children from a young age. He said, look, he put his hand on my chest, he made me sit on the ground, and he said, أَتَدْخُلُ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنٍ, without permission are you asking? You need to ask permission, don't just follow me and enter into the room. Okay, this is a private room of your parents. So children need to be taught from a young age. Okay, especially when they are not now living in the same room as their parents. Allah says in there's a hadith, وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. So we need to train children from a young age. And then finally, we'll finish on this. وَقَالَ نَافِعْ مَوْلَى عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا كَانَ ابْنُ عُمَرْ إِذَا بَلَغَ بعض ولده الحلم أي مبلغ الرجال عزله أي أفرده عن هجرته فلم يدخل على ابن عمر إلا بإذنه. نافع says that Ibn Umar is the son of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar. He relates about him that when some of his children, when they used to reach puberty, when they used to become baligh, he used to separate them. He used to teach them, now when you've become baligh, you don't live, you don't sleep in the parents' room. He used to separate them from his own room. And from then on, he taught them that from now on, whenever you want to enter your parents' room, you must ask permission. Inshallah. So we end with this. I think we've just got a couple of minutes left for iftar. I wanted to finish this point off, but I don't think we can. So inshallah, we'll carry on tomorrow with this point. I mean, this point is more or less complete, just two more quotes, and then tomorrow we will discuss the etiquette of knocking on somebody's door and ringing the bell, how you should knock and how you should ring. Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq, the ability to practice. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
7.7 FM, this is Radio Ramadan. It is now time for iftar. So all are requested to break your fast.
The dua for iftar, for those of you who may not know, or just a reminder, before opening your iftar, you say, Allahumma laka sumtu, wa bika amantu, wa alayka tawakkaltu, wa ala rizqika aftartu. Allahumma laka sumtu, wa bika amantu, wa alayka tawakkaltu, wa ala rizqika aftartu. And then after you've drank some water, and you've cooled yourself, then the next dua is, ذهب الظماء وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله تعالى. ذهب الظماء وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله تعالى. You'll find these du'as in some of the books, inshallah. But it's just a reminder. Jazakallah khairah.